So the procedure actually was so simple that we just registered it and forgot. You know, when you have a lot of complications, different troubles, when you're dealing with something which takes a lot of time, you remember every single detail. But not in this case, because I believe this was one of the main ideas of the service, to ease people's lives, at least here.
Welcome to the Digital Government Podcast. Tune in to discover the future of governance and ways of getting there.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Digital Government Podcast with your usual host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher, here today to talk about happy things, actually, because today we have an episode that addresses the development of one more service, let's say, not only in the Ukrainian environment, for which indeed I have two Ukrainian guests with me today, but also in Estonia. And that service is digital marriage, believe it or not. And I say believe it or not because, for example, something that from the Estonian side, the government representatives and spokespeople repeated ever so often was the fact that, you know, we have 99% of services that are available online, but the only things that you cannot do are getting married and the divorce. Well, I mean, getting married, now you can do it online as well, and not just in Estonia, but in Ukraine too. Which is the reason why today, for this podcast recording, I do have Anton Yermakov, who is part of the communication team at eGovernance Academy, as an expert, and someone who actually used the service of digital marriage, which is Igor Podolsky, who is an administrative assistant at the EU for Digital Ukraine project. So, Igor and Anton, I will start from Igor and then Anton, but welcome to both of you to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Federico.
Thank you, yeah, hello.
So, Igor, please, I mean, we are all curious about this, I'm sure. I mean, me, definitely, you have already been through it, so I'm assuming that the curiosity has already, you know, subdued after the big yes, let's say. But Igor, please tell me, first of all, why did you decide to get married using a digital marriage service? We should also, for context, remember all our audience that Ukraine is not a country at peace at the moment. So it's not that just, you know, people who want to get married digitally simply do it because, oh, let's get married digitally. But in many cases, this could actually be a very present and strong need, let's say, that arises from the fact that it's something that cannot be carried out, you know, as it normally would in peace times. But Igor, specifically in your case, how did it come up, this thing?
Okay, I will tell you how it came up. So actually, our story began when we were working together at school with my wife. So her name is Ksyusha. And we started dating more than 4 years ago. And to be honest, I was going to propose her a lot ago. I was planning to do it in Spain on the Tibidabo mountain, and I thought it would be romantic. But unfortunately, on February 24, 2022, Russia invaded my country and changed lives of every Ukrainian. And of course, we were not an exception. So I had to postpone it for some time. But when we got used to live in work conditions, yeah, that may sound quite wild, but nevertheless, I made up my mind to ask her. So you never know whether you will have the next day, anytime missile or drone can hit you. So I decided to act. So I decided to do it on St. Valentine's Day. And actually, I was lucky to hear a positive answer to my question. Yeah, I heard these three letters. Yes. And so as none of us faced wedding organization previously, so we thought that it may take quite a long time because you need to go to different administrative service centers, you have to sit in the queues and then wait for a month or even longer just to be registered. And that time I was already working in EGA, and surely I knew about the upcoming official release of the service in India, but I had no intention to match somehow like my proposal to its launch, of course, no, because I was focused mostly on the process of proposing. So I may say it was a fortunate coincidence. When we chose the approximate date, we talked with Susha and agreed to register it online. You know, using the service developed by the people you work with is sort of exciting and maybe encouraging. especially when they support you as it was with us.
Oh, but Igor, first of all, I already heard something that I like, which is that you had thought of doing it on the Tibidabo mountain. And since I'm based in Barcelona, obviously, I can only say yes, please come whenever you can and do that, because it's a very nice place together with many others. But Anton, maybe you wanted to add something to it and also to make your way in into this, you know, conversation of the on the marriage.
Yes, it's actually quite interesting that Igor, you mentioned that you made a proposal on 24th of February, because the service itself was launched on the 27th.
On the 14th of February, not 24th.
On the 14th. I'm sorry. Yeah, on the 14th of February, and the service was launched on 27th. In 2023, so maybe you knew something.
Yeah, I knew about the launch, but as I told you, I had no intention to match it, like, so.
But at this point, I think that maybe like the proposal was on the 14th, because, you know, it was the perfect day, you know,
for that. Yes.
And then when they actually executed, let's say, the decision of marriage. So Igor, indeed, like at this point, obviously, many people among our listeners, me included, actually, so among the people participating in this podcast, are curious of how it actually works. So maybe that's not, you know, how it actually works, not the entire like relationship story, and also how you proposed on 14th of February, like if there was chocolate or which bottle of wine did you get or something like that, but rather afterwards. So in the moment of pushing the button that says yes, let's put it this way, all the way there and during the process itself, how did it look like, what were the steps entailed, and then we will include Anton also to talk about the service itself more in general.
Okay, so actually when I was told about this podcast, I tried to get ready for it, and then I realized that I forgot most of the things about the registration. So I needed to remind them. So the procedure actually was so simple that we just registered it and forgot. You know, when you have a lot of complications, different troubles, when you're dealing with something which takes a lot of time, you remember every single detail. But not in this case, because I believe this was one of the main ideas of the service, to ease people's lives, at least here. Talking about the procedure itself, it's easy and quick, actually. It consists of just 7 steps. So, and if you are registered in DIA, you have just to log in, and the first step is already completed with your personal information, like email, your name, surname, your date, birth date, and so on. So the real magic starts with the second step, when you need to select the city and the place of registration of civil status acts. So we chose the nearest to us, which is in Dniprovsky district. And as Ksusha told me, it was the most beautiful one in Kyiv as well. So we made the right decision. Then you may also choose whether you want to be only registered with a symbolic fee of less than 1 hryvnia. It's actually 2 euro cents, and go home, or to have certain services like registration in a festive hall with music, with wedding rings exchange, some Ukrainian traditions with embroidered towel called rushnik, or festive bread, which is called karavai, etc. So these services cost little more than 1,000 hryvnias, which is approximately 30 euro. And that is also okay. It's not expensive. And then you have to choose the exact date and time. Each time slot is for approximately 15-20 minutes from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., if I'm not mistaken. And in a day, you have like 30 plus slots to have your marriage registered, which is great, I think, because a lot of couples can have the registration in the same day, in the same place. So you don't have to go from one service center to another to find anything. No need to surf the net looking for information. So everything is stored in one place on one web page. So this step also notifies you about the time that you have 48 hours that they are booked to complete the application. And that normally you have to wait for 1 month before you're officially married. But there are exceptions for quicker registration, like if your fiancé is pregnant or you have common children, you may have a threat to your life or a martial law, which allow you to register your marriage even the next day. So our exception was the martial law, of course. and so we could have any free date and time. Then you ought to fill the personal information about your partner, including the most interesting point in our case, whether the partner will change the surname. We have discussed this question a couple of times, and Ksusha preliminary agreed to take my surname, but here now you have to make a final decision. So if you push the button, there is no way back after that. So we had another round for discussions for, I don't know, half an hour or so. And the preliminary yes became the final yes. So she agreed to change her surname and take mine. Then the same full information must be given about you, the applicant. And by the way, for both partners, you ought to give information whether they are put on a military registration. And if yes, you ought to indicate which territorial center of recruitment they are put to, with the relevant military data, of course. The last two steps are pretty easy. They include the payment, whether it is one hryvnia or more than 1,000. So it depends on the services you have chosen. If you do not choose any services, so it will cost you like 2 euro cents. And that's all.
Two euro cents.
Yeah, so less than a hryvnia. If you just want to come to the office, have your documents registered, get your wedding certificate, and then go home or go to celebrate any other place you want. And the last step is just to check the whole application that you have previously filled in. And when you confirm the information, so both partners receive emails. So I received email that I have just applied for a marriage registration, and another partner receives email where they have to just confirm the information. So they also receive the whole application with all the information, and when they confirm it, that's all. You have to wait for the date that you have chosen. That's all. So.
Oh, but 2 euros is amazing. I mean, it's like less
two
than...
2 euro cents.
Definitely.
2 euro cents, yeah.
Ah, 2 euro cents.
Yeah, not 2 euro, 2 euro cents. Yeah, it's wow. Like almost free, almost.
Wow, but no, because for example, in Estonia, I think that the state fee to pay, you know, when you get exactly to the very last moment, to the very last step, is about 30 euros, if I'm not wrong, at least according to eEstonia.com indeed. But Anton, then at this point, Igor, first of all, thanks a lot for guiding us through how the magic unfolded, and especially how nice it was, you know, to use this this digital service marriage. But Anton, maybe you can tell us instead more about the service itself and how it came to be. Why do I mean this? Because just to draw a very, very, very small comparison, but just as a reference point, in Estonia, for example, something that was that one of the driving forces, let's say, behind the development of a digital marriage as an online service is the fact that essentially the government in general is moving more towards this like citizen-centric and proactive, let's say, approach to service delivery, which is revolving around life events. So the question there was, or better, the thought, I'm assuming that in that case was, marriage is a very big life event in the life of the most. So why not making that as well, let's say, at least partly digital, or even, let's say, fully digital? From Igor's experience, we saw that essentially disregards all the steps that are taken into account and required in order to get to the very, very final yes, let's say, no? Including some buffering time, because for example Igor spoke about certain specific conditions where you can get married, you know, like in 48 hours or like in a short amount of time, but in the Estonian case, for example, peacetime, there is this like month, let's say, of buffering time in between. So Igor told us about the magic of doing it. Anton, tell us about the magic of making it. So what did it take, let's say, to get the service up and running in Ukraine?
So first and foremost, you were asking why. What is the strategic vision? Why it was digitized? So let's see. Our Ministry of Digital Transformation has a very ambitious goal of digitizing 100% of all the services in the nearest future. It is one of just one of the services that needs to be digitized. And we can't say that the war propped up the digitalization because it was included in our project way before the war. We've been working on it since 2019, I think, when the project was launched. But right now, it's very important for us because a lot of people are actually right now on the front line. And marriage is not just, flowers and nice stuff. It's also changes the perception of state, like of the administrative machine towards you and your partner. Because when we face very challenging situations like people are facing during the war, especially those that are at the front line, there may be you may be in hospital, you may be taken a hostage, and your partner is the person who should take the decisions regarding you. If you're in a civil marriage, they just won't let you in the reanimation, or you won't be able to apply for the extraction from the Russian captivity. That's why soldiers are very busy at the front line. They don't have too much time for the days off or for a leave. Usually they arrive for just a few days.
The music and the flowers
Yes, you just need to make it quick. So this service is just perfect for this right now. Let me also include one more remark. This is not the e-marriage. This is the e-marriage application, because nobody marries online. We just apply and do all this dull and tiresome paperwork online. But people go to the wedding halls and they get their proper ceremony if they want. If they don't, they just pay 2 euro cents and go with their papers done.
And that's done. Yes.
And just some interesting statistics maybe for you. On the very first day of the launch, around 300 people, actually 302, got registered for the marriage. I read in Estonia in the first couple of days, according to the website, 30 people registered. Okay, we can't compare Estonia and Ukraine because of the size and the populations. But you can see that Ukrainian couples were quite eager. And also the beta test, 900 couples took part in the beta test of the service.
900 couples in the beta test.
In the beta test. And then when the service was launched in the very first day, 300 couples applied.
But well, Anton, this makes me think of another thing, which is that, I mean, many people then at this point already knew about the fact that this service was going to be launched and were sort of like waiting for it to be rolled out, no?
That's the point. But let's say I have also the data regarding the online applications. So as of now, okay, not as of now, but as of the 1st of October, we had 15,468 applications, out of which 13,000 were successful. That makes it like every seventh couple in Ukraine got married online. So around 15%. Because according to our statistics, around 18,000 couples get married each month in Ukraine. It was, I think, 2022 statistics. So it's pre-war, so the numbers are a bit higher. We don't have the statistics for the 2023.
Usually, on average, about 80,000 couples get married each month in Ukraine.
18,000. 18,000, yes.
And in the case of the digital marriage application, so far, since the service was rolled out, essentially you sort of like reached the quota of what it would, of what marriage would look like in real life on a monthly basis. But in any case, in the case of digital marriage, we're talking about a time span that goes from when the service was rolled out until now. Or did you mean in the single month of September?
No. We mean since the service was rolled out on 27th of February.
Nice milestone,
and
though.
So, yeah, it makes it 7 months. In 7 months, we got almost 16,000 applications.
Almost what you get in a normal month of normal marriages.
Yes.
Which is wrong, obviously, to call it like normal marriages. Like, these are exactly, you know, this is exactly the good thing about the bringing the service online, which is that while from the administrative side you sort of like can do everything more smoothly and you don't have to go to different offices and stuff like that, then you can essentially get out of the way in an easier way all the steps that are required up until you get to the very, very final moment of the happiest moment at that point.
I can actually tell you a story of my friend who was lucky to get two marriages.
Please.
The first one was the analogous one, and the second one was an e-marriage. So she just
have a question. Already with the same person or with two different people?
With two different people. So you see.
Oh wow!
The analogous.
Please go on.
Yeah, during the very first marriage, when there was no such an e-service, it was quite tiresome process. First, you needed to go to the center of administrative registration of
civil status.
Civil act. Status, yes, of civil status acts. So
see,
you see,
we don't even
this
like
very
to say
name.
It.
This very name shows you the complexity of the procedure. You needed to have a bunch of documents, like copies of your tax ID, three copies of your passport of the first seven pages, then filled out application in written form by hand, then a lot of
receipt of the first date that you went on, if you still have it.
Yeah, something like this. Yeah, maybe a flash drive with the with your first date recordings. I'm joking, but it was a lot of paperwork indeed. Then you go there, you sit in the queue, you wait. Then it's lunchtime. So you have to wait for 1 hour for the civil workers to have their lunch, basically. Then at last you enter this this office, and you bring them all these documents, and you say, "I want to get married on this date." It was actually the case of my friend. And they said, "Oh, we have no free slots. Go to another center." And there was not even a possibility to have a look online. Like whether they are like they didn't post their schedules, so she had to go to another center to repeat this procedure, to hear that they also booked. Only at third place she managed to book the date that she wanted. Then you have to pay the fee. You have to pay these 85 kopeekas or 2 euro cents, but this is a very important fee. And you take this, they give you a paper, like a directive to, for the bank or whatever. And you have 2 working days to pay. If you didn't manage, you need to reschedule your arrangements. So she went to the bank. It is a state bank, so they're not on every corner. You need to go to a specific bank to pay this 2 euro cents. To take receipt from them, to come back to the center, to sit through this queues, then you give this receipt, and only then they book you officially the date and the ceremony.
Anton, lovely stuff. What an amazing story already regarding, you know, the many and diverse uses of the digital marriage application service already leading up to that point. But I guess that let's take this moment then now to pull the strings back together, let's say, back together to seriousness, because both of you, Anton and Igor, you're part of the team of eGovernance Academy that is working on the digital transformation projects that EGA is advising the Ukrainian government on. So the digital marriage application service is just one, you know, of the many services that are being, as you also said, as you also brought up, Anton, that are being developed digitally in the country. So at this point, what I would ask you is exactly to shed light a little bit on who was engaged, perfect, perfect word for this case, sorry for the pun, and also what were the biggest challenges in indeed bringing this service like to life?
As you mentioned, the main drive of Ukraine's digitalization is the Ministry of Digital Transformation, and EGA is working closely with it. And right now we have two projects funded by the European Union. They are EU for Digital UA and DT for UA. So this service was developed within the framework of EU for Digital UA by our component 3 experts that are involved in development of digital services, namely I would like to give a kudos to Yulia Khavikova and Andriy Piskun, who were heavily involved in it, in developing all the roadmaps, technical documentation, and so on and so forth. We had a green light from the Ministry of Digital Transformation, green light from the donors, mainly European Union. And our team started to work on it. Impediments was the legislation and the fact that you need to make something digital. First, you need to make changes on paper, so you need to wait for legislation to change for this e-services to work and be legally binding. I think it was one of the biggest challenges, and I would say maybe if we would speak about some other country, I would say that the digitalization of registers is quite a big process. But in Ukraine, we already have this infrastructure and we are constantly developing it. So thanks to the Trimbita system developed by our experts and during the eGov for Ukraine project and supported with all our subsequent big activities in Ukraine. We have safe interaction between registers and also digitized registers already that were involved in provision of this service. I think that's it. This is the main highlights as of the challenges and development of this e-service. Also, what is important is the cooperation with those centers that are providing the service of marriage registration, because it's up to them to fill in their cabinet, to fill in their possibilities. Because, for example, in one part of Ukraine, some centers have one set of special offers. Like Igor said, you could have this festive bread, you can have some music. For example, in Western Ukraine, I felt they have the center with the biggest amount of additional services, and it can cost you up to 16,000 hryvnias. It's around 500 euros. But there you can choose the instrument, you can ask for a dance troupe, you can the plethora of entertainment activities.
And I guess that this is where we can wrap up this episode for the Digital Government Podcast. So, Igor, I will start from you. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And I don't know if I said it already before, but obviously also congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
And Anton, thanks a lot to you as well for giving us the insight or the ins and outs of how this this service came to life, and also some other, let's say, real life cases of when this was used.
Thank you very much, Federico. It was very nice being here with you, and see you around in other e-governance podcasts.
Indeed, Anton, and thanks a lot for joining again, and to our entire audience, thanks a lot to you as well for joining us in this, you know, a bit more lighthearted, a bit more relaxed episode of the Digital Government Podcast. From time to time, it's good to have some. Obviously, the only wish from my side as the host is to see you again and hear you again at all the next episodes of the Digital Government Podcast. And that's all from our side for today. Have a good one.
This podcast is brought to you by the eGovernance Academy. Tune in next time.